Are you ready, Craig? Are you ready for it?
I've been waiting for it.
Mainly, I like to book the interview just because I like saying the Big Bad Book of Botany. And our guest is the author, Michael Largo, who joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
The Big Bad Book of Botany. I like that title. It makes plants sound tough. I'm also concerned, though, that if I read too much of this, I would be so fearful of the plant kingdom that I would never leave my house.
Yeah, the vines would grab you by the feet, right? So, no, it's a compendium of all kinds of interesting plants. Just the idea is to try to make us look at the, we just look out the window and see green, or if we walk in a forest, what is this? But every plant has some kind of unique wonder, biochemical wonder that has allowed it to survive in this world. And I picked some of the more interesting plants in order to get people to try to look at nature and green stuff in a new way.
You have this sort of organized A to Z. No, and so that's kind of how you decided to rank your plants. Basically, the alphabet kind of helped with that. Let's maybe just look at the A's to begin with. What are some of the A's that really stand out for you?
Well, I mean, you know, some of the normal foods that we have. I mean, you know, take an avocado. You know, everybody, you know, has an avocado. And then, I've marveled at this. You know, you open it up and this giant pit there. Where did this come from? You know, most plants, the whole idea is for them to survive. So what we call a fruit or a vegetable is actually just the ovary of the plant in order for its offspring, its babies. And an avocado is one of the other interesting plants because we all see this giant pit. How did this pit ever get around? Because there's no way for it, you know, birds to take it away or for it to disperse in any way. So what we're looking at is a plant that is almost 100 million years old in the sense that it had some kind of relationship with an animal that was big enough to swallow this pit whole, some ground sloth that no longer exists. But yet the pit and the plant exist. So that's one interesting, you know, when you eat a salad, you look at an avocado and you say, wow, okay, so that pit was developed for a ground sloth. That's why it's so giant. So that would be one particular fact in the A's. We have, you know, different plants like a corpse flower plant that uses tries to attract through a foul odor, and it sort of attracts flies. It smells like a corpse. Some plants also use either toxins or sweet nectar. You know, there's other plants that there's a wonderful plant called this touch me not plant that if you touch it, it feigns death like a possum, where the touch of a human or a herbivore, when you touch it, actually triggers all the water from its cells to leave quickly from its leaves so that it looks like it withers in a second. And it definitely fools an animal because they wonder, like, they're actually freaked out, like, what happened to this plant? So they wouldn't eat it. So there's all these survival techniques, and that's really what you see most in plants is they stationary as they are, they figured out some way that we couldn't even imagine in order to survive in their environment. So, and that's one of the interesting things about plants in particular.
It almost seems like some of these plants have the equivalent of brain power.
After I've done all this research on this, you almost start to wonder, is there some kind of, you don't want to start saying that, you know, obviously plants have no brains as we know it, but there seems to be some quote-unquote consciousness going on in the sense that they know where they are, in a sense. There's been experiments where you say you put all the same kind of plants together and you have no plant that is invasive or harmful to it. Those group of similar plants grow healthier, you know, like birds of a feather. I mean, and plants do this too. And how do they sense that? They have no eyes, no ears, nothing that we know and how to interpret the world, but they have a way of interpreting the world that opens our eyes into the sense that there's many, many other things going on. And I think that's the most important lesson that plants teach us.
The book is called The Big Bad Book of Botany. We're talking to the author, Michael Largo. How did your eyes become open to this plant world?
Back in college many, many years ago, I got myself through college being a nature guide in a conservatory. So what I learned was that when people walk, when I walked into a forest wherever I lived, you know, I knew what a tree was, but I didn't know that it was an elm or an oak or a birch. Or, and once you know the name of a plant, and once you know its name, you actually enjoy the walk through the forest better. It's as if you walked into a room, group of people, and you didn't know their name. That's why they wear name tags when you go to a convention, so you get to know the people. So it's the same thing going in the forest. You have a more enjoyable time when you know the plants that are in front of your house or your street or where you go, or your park. You get to enjoy them more because there's a certain history to them. There's a certain way that they survive that enhances that experience.
Michael, are we still discovering plants, or have we pretty much done so?
Well, we're still, you know, on the microscopic level, we're still discovering plants, and especially among fungi. Well, fungi is no longer in the plant kingdom. They moved them out, you know, mushrooms and whatnot. But that kingdom is, we still don't understand almost, there's still 90% that haven't been discovered. And even on the microscopic level, various types of plankton, we've only tapped that. But every once in a while, a new plant will arise. But so most of the land plants we've pretty much named. But it's on that smaller level that we're still, there's still wide open space, still frontier to be conquered there.
You kind of look through the history of the plants and vegetables and things like that. Any vegetables or plants that were revered and despised over time that we wonder, why was civilization thinking that way?
Well, I mean, one of the interesting, you know, the onion we know, the onion, I guess, comes to mind, where back in ancient times, they believed, in Egypt in particular, they believed the onion was a divine plant. And it symbolized, as you peel an onion, it was a symbol of life, of eternal life. How each layer would be revealed. So the onion was revered in Egypt, and in fact, they used to use it as currency. And there's evidence that they paid. You know, some of the pyramids weren't built all by slaves, but by workers, and they paid the workers in onions. And they used to eat them as we would eat an apple, you know, bad breath, you know, whatever. But they believed the nutritional value and the spiritual value helped them to work longer by eating an onion. So there was man in the early times attributed various aspects to certain foods, not only just for the nutritional value, but there was also some other kind of symbolism behind the plant that they were eating that gave them either power or strength or some other type of attribute that helped them.
We're talking to Michael Largo, the author of The Big Bad Book of Botany. Are you on a time constraint, or do we have a little more time with you this morning?
Let me see what the next one. I have a couple of minutes, sure.
Okay, I just wanted to know, you know, what's a weed? We always thought, you know, we have a horticulturalist, a weed is something growing where you kind of don't want it to grow. I guess maybe that's the simplest definition, but any weeds that went from the good side, or the bad side to the good side, in a sense?
Yeah, and I guess, you know, the quote, you know, long ago by Ralph Waldo Emerson was, you know, what is a weed? It's a plant whose virtues have never been discovered. So, you know, I think that's, you know, what a weed is. But, you know, even grasses were considered weeds at one time. You know, they used to destroy the crop area, and now we have lawns for grass. And the other plants we used to think of weeds was an agave plant, which is sort of like sort of looks like an aloe plant, but then it was discovered that you can make tequila out of that. So it no longer became a weed, and it became a valuable commodity to make tequila. So that was one they used to just throw away. Now it's harvested. But there's also other kind of plants that we plant, which is sort of, you know, like say oleanders, these beautiful flowering plants. You know, people put them on their gardens or all around nursing homes and whatever. But they're one of the top 10 toxic plants. So their beauty is, their flowers are brilliant, but any part of the plant, even one little leaf, if a leaf of that oleander plant falls into the dog's bowl and he drinks that water, it would kill him. So there's different, you know, that should be a weed in a way, but we keep planting this poisonous plant everywhere we go. So
when did the rose become so special?
Well, you know, I think the rose is became such a symbol of it's one of the most beautiful flower. I mean, it's perfect flower, and became this symbol of beauty, I guess, almost instantly. And it also kind of that it because of it. Because it has so, it crosses cultures, for its people revere it as a symbol of either love or, depending on the color, red for love, yellow for passion, and et cetera, et cetera. But it almost seems to be a plant that inspired humans to not look at only plants is one way, but they recognize this beauty. But it also has thorns that keep it protected, so it became this symbol of love. Always has this stinging side to it.
Right. There's
and it seems to haven't gone away for centuries.
Yeah,
people still adore the rose.
It's almost like a poem on a stem in a sense.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it.
The book is called The Big Bad Book of Botany. Our guest today, Michael Largo. People can check it out now. I guess it's in paperback. People can find this and have some fun reading and maybe discover some of the plants that they have and a little bit more about them. As you say, once you get to know them, they become more like your friends and you're a little more familiar with them. Appreciate your time this morning. Bye.
Thank you very much.